Now, NDE Radio, a weekly exploration of near-death experiences and similar encounters with the other side. Now, here's your host, Lee Whitting.
Welcome to NDE Radio with Lee Whitting, whether you're listening on TalkZone, by podcast, through the archives of our ad-free shows on our YouTube channel, or by connecting through our Facebook page. Ask AI to compare today's political earthquakes to all of Western history, and it names the year 1453, the fall of the Byzantine Empire to the Ottoman Turks, as the best example of similarly cataclysmic change. In summary, Google AI says, the 1453 fall of Constantinople, marking the end of the Byzantine Empire and the rise of the Ottoman Empire, is compared to modern shifts in global power, technological disruption, and cultural transformation. It signifies a transition from medieval to modern eras, much like current digital and geopolitical shifts. The comparison reminded me of an astrology-based Mayan and Hopi-affirming prophecy of the fourth world ending that was made by an NDEer on this show during the holy days of April 2014, a time marked dramatically by blood moons, a solar eclipse, and a cardinal great cross of planets. Along with the outburst of Comet Holmes and the 25,700-year cycle change, this Jungian astrologer offered listeners a remarkable vision of the events we're witnessing today. More specifically, it was on our April 14th, 2014 show that guest Dr. John Wessels, a near-death experiencer, offered listeners his more than 45 years of mastering the art of Jungian astrology. In that role, he had interpreted thousands of astrological charts for clients throughout the world, also with credentials that included MBA, MDiv, and PhD degrees. John served for 24 years at Duke University with duties as chaplain and as director of administration for auxiliary services, utilizing his expertise in finance relative to global economic and financial systems as well. Given America's current direction, I do believe it's time to consider John Wessels' 2014 remarks in light of what we're experiencing today. It's interesting to note his comments about Pluto's position on America's natal founding chart, that Pluto, the planet that governs both nuclear fission and entrenched plutocracy, would make a major move in January 2016. Remember, John spoke of this almost 2 years before January 2016, the date of the beginning of Trump's first term. I began the interview by asking John Wessels about the heavenly signs of April 2014.
This must be a particularly exciting time for astrologers with all the signs and symbols going on in the heavens. What do all these heavenly configurations seem to pretend?
Well, they pretend a tremendous inner as well as outer change in the world. I've had my eyes on this unfolding, transiting cardinal grand cross for well over a decade. There is so much swirling around this configuration, which is unfolding really throughout the month of April. The grand cross began to form technically around April 3rd. It'll reach its culmination on April 23rd to 24th, when we will have the planets Jupiter, Mars, Pluto, and Uranus forming exact oppositions and squares to each other at 13 degrees in the signs of Libra, Capricorn, Aries, and Cancer. So what will this portend? I think what we can expect is the unexpected. We can expect tremendous change in the world. This could occur in a number of venues, but I think the change will actually, I think this is really just a trigger point for change that will be unfolding for the next 2 to 3 decades. So I wouldn't expect April on its own to be a time of all of the change that I think we'll see occurring. I want to back up a bit and put the month of April and this transiting cardinal grand cross in a much bigger perspective. I think this would be helpful, hopefully, to your audience.
Sure.
So, you know, again, certainly this month of April could cause people to feel especially high-strung or to feel especially nervous or concerned or worried. That's pretty normal, I would think. So if your listeners are feeling that way, rest assured that's, you know, just a normal byproduct of what's unfolding right now. But from a bigger perspective, and I think this is, you know, really helpful to get a handle on this, what's really occurring and what's being triggered by this planetary configuration, as well as others that have preceded it and will also occur after April of this year, is really a shift from one epoch to another epoch. And this is tremendously important. This is an amazing time in human history, in terms of human spiritual development. There are a number of ancient traditions that have foreseen this shift from one age to another. Astrologers for thousands of years have known about the precession of the equinoxes, which is a 25,700-year cycle, which is currently ending now, and a new cycle is about ready to begin. The ancients certainly knew about this. Plato, 504 to 500 BC, called it the Great Age. He certainly knew about it. Not only that, ancient Mayan prophecy indicated that there would be an end to this, you know, huge cycle. They pinpointed the date as December 21st, 2012. But I think they understood that this shift will, you know, occur over decades and decades. And then we also have ancient Hopi prophecy. There were 9 prophetic prophecies that the ancient Hopi elders had, and one of the final ones was the appearance of a blue star Kachina, and their prophecy was that there would be an ending of a so-called fourth world and a birthing of a fifth world, the end of this old, you know, tremendously long cycle and the birthing of a new one. And in the fifth world, they foresaw that to be a time when humanity would develop spiritually in profound ways, and the brotherhood of mankind would be, you know, placed in the forefront. The last of their 9th prophecies, as this age would unfold, was the appearance of what they called a blue star Kachina. And interestingly, we have a comet called Comet Holmes, which was discovered in 1898. And on October 23rd to 24th of 2007, Comet Holmes was making its appearance in the skies again, and inexplicably, the gases surrounding it blew up, so the size of the comet was 500,000 times larger than it had been. It was actually the biggest object in the solar system for several days, and astronomers were absolutely flabbergasted. They couldn't figure that out, how that had occurred. We've had not only astrologers as well as the ancient Mayan elders and Hopi elders foreseeing the end of one great cycle, beginning of a new one. And I think that the birthing of the new cycle or the new age possibly began when President Kennedy was assassinated. Then we had in 1987 an astrological event called the Harmonic Convergence. And in the mid-80s, we also had the too-big-to-fill interlocking banks globally creating exotic financial instruments called credit default swap derivatives and interest rate swap derivatives. Then in the early 90s, we had the birthing of the Internet, which was creating a grid of consciousness around our planet. Then we had, obviously, September 11th, 2001, and then the Blue Star Kachina in 2007, September 2008, we had the beginning of the implosion of the global financial systems. And then we had Fukushima in March of 2011. And then we had the unfolding of actually 7 cardinal transiting squares of the planets Uranus and Pluto. So those began occurring in 2012, and the last of these seven will occur on March 17th of 2015. The current Grand Cross it represents the fifth of those seven events. But then we also have, that's not going to be the end of it. If you look at America's natal founding chart, which is called the Sibley chart, the second house cusp for our natal founding chart is at 16 degrees Capricorn. And Capricorn, the second house, Capricorn, would govern America's financial system, banking system, corporate systems, and political systems. Now, the planet Pluto, which governs the power of nuclear fission and the entrenched power of the world's plutocracy, that planet will be entering the second house cusp on January of 2016. It will be transiting through America's second house until April of 2038. Interestingly, the Hopis thought that the real birth, the final stage of the birth of the fifth world, would be around 2040. Mm. And so these things all seem to be aligning. I think what we can expect to see during the next 20 to 30 years are tremendous changes in global corporate, monetary, political, judicial, and social systems. And I think any old structures that are no longer serving humanity's highest good will be morphing, hopefully dramatically, so that this new age will be a time when the new systems that are going to be birthed will be set up to better serve the needs of humanity. In the meantime, there are a number of wonderful things that may occur. There are a number of possible outcomes that I foresee that I pray do not happen, which could involve severe downturns in the stock market or the bond market or even the value of the American dollar, which is no longer backed by anything of real value. Before 1971, it was partially backed by gold. And I think what's really important to understand is it's up to each and every one of us to try to develop as much as we possibly can spiritually to become the highest versions of who we could possibly be. And if we do that, we can make sure that the worst possible scenarios don't unfold and the best ones do.
One of the depressing things about the former world, especially the Hopi stories, but also the Christian, the Judeo-Christian traditions as well, is that it's a disaster followed by a small remnant of survivors reestablishing civilization. That does not portend a good sign. My understanding is this Grand Cross has a lot of negativity to it, a lot of opposition to it. Could you go into that a little bit?
Yeah, okay. So the Grand Cross potentially could carry tremendously difficult outcomes. And again, it's important to understand that, even though it's culminating almost to the degree, very exact, 13 degrees for each of the four planets forming this Grand Cross on April 23rd to 24th, events in the world may not occur, exactly on those dates. They may cluster around them. So we may not see, some of the changes or tremendous upheavals that the Grand Cross may be bringing us. These things may not come to pass for 4 months or even years. This is simply a trigger, energetic trigger event. Mm-hmm. So in terms of, some of the really negative things that could happen, again, expect the unexpected. We could, in terms of the Earth, we could certainly see volcanic or earthquake activity. In terms of the economy, I think that we could see severe downturns in the stock and bond markets. And there are rumblings that the dollar itself may begin to lose its reserve world status as the world's petrodollar. I think, and also we had Occupy Wall Street occur a few years ago. I think we could see, more social unrest as these things are unfolding. Certainly it's up to each and every one of us to look deeply within ourselves, our unconscious psyches and our shadows, to try to ferret out both light and dark elements, bring the light elements up to the light of day and activate them. Those are great gifts we bring here to share with others. And to bring up the dark elements within us that we may not be aware of, bring them up to the light of day and try to heal them. As we do that, there's a wonderful book called Power versus Force by Dr. David Hawkins. And in that book, his main tenet is that, any one person on this planet who is spiritually evolving could be the tipping point for the rest of humanity to help humanity navigate through the next 20 to 30 years without these worst-case scenarios unfolding. So that I think that's really important to understand, that we all have a tremendous responsibility to try to make sure that the best outcomes are occurring.
John, as a near-death experiencer yourself, do you see a role being played by NDEers in this new birth?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, it struck me this morning as I was thinking about chatting with you today that there is an interesting parallel to some extent between what's unfolding astrologically and the effects of the panoramic life review for near-death experiencers. The panoramic life review allows someone to look deeply within themselves and understand, what's terrifically important in life. And also, often it's a profound catapult for, tremendous healing when people come back. And I think these alignments are also providing us with an impetus for tremendous healing. Mm-hmm. And change. And so, and absolutely, the people who have had near-death experiences are really a light unto the world. They bring back with them tremendous insight and understanding. Often these events are life-changing. People change dramatically. Many of them come back with tremendous gifts that they never had before. And they often dedicate their lives to the betterment of humanity and the world. And so, yes, near-death experiencers are a locus of very important love and change in the world.
I have thought that it's interesting the technology that now brings back so many people who would otherwise have died, defibrillators and the like. That there might be a bigger reason that technology has recently developed, just because so many more near-death experiencers are now surviving and coming back to tell their stories.
Well, isn't that interesting? And let's think about the timing. Again, if this shift from one 26,000-year age to another one is occurring right now, and the next age will hopefully be a time of tremendous spiritual development and growth, isn't it interesting that we have many, many more people being resuscitated and coming back with profound insight into what's really going on spiritually in the other realms, and they're bringing that here? I think that's terribly important. They're actually probably helping birth this new age.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I'm thinking that too. I don't think that's a coincidence at all.
Let me ask you another one. You and I had talked earlier, and we share a belief in the possibility of reincarnation. And
yeah.
I think you had said something to me about it's that we have a choice as to what the stars' configurations are when we're born. In other words, we get to choose something about our own personality, or we fit into a pattern that determines our personality. Who do you suppose will want to be reincarnated if the world is going through a crisis period?
Well, I think everybody who's come here today they knew exactly when they were going to be born in this historical time period, and I think everyone who's been born now you know, they're fulfilling, embodying an archetype of the hero with great courage and bravery and great love. It takes profound love as well as courage to come here at this time and try to be a beacon of light in this world as it's undergoing this shift. So I think, you know, and it is my understanding that before we are, you know, rebirthed, we pick everything, and we know all of it. We know our genetic encoding. We know exactly all of the nuances embedded in our natal astrological charts. Actually, that's an energetic pattern that you breathe in your body upon your first breath, and it downloads into every cell of your body at the molecular level, where it co-resides with your DNA patterning. And so your DNA encoding and the energetic pattern embedded in the natal astrological chart, both of those are arbiters of what the ancient Greeks called your haimarmene, or your moira, M-O-I-R-A, your so-called fatedness. Understanding that we also have free will to change any element in our life that we wish to. But yes, I think we know everything about who we will be. We'll know our parents, who we'll have as partners in our lives, what our great talents may be, what types of careers we'll launch, et cetera, who our children will be, all of it's known. And then we obviously have to forget a tremendous amount of that before we come here. That's part of the so-called oath, I think, that we take before we're reborn. We're not allowed to remember everything we knew in the spirit realm, because if we did, we simply have no impetus to really have any soul growth here as a human being, unless we come here as a spiritually illumined master. That's different for them.
Why do you suppose, being born into this age, that so many people would choose greed and a desire for power, and all of the problems we see in the world, you know, the corruption of the environment? People are making conscious decisions to do these things.
Or unconscious decisions prompted by the unconscious shadow. Often, I think the greed and corruption we're seeing in the world today is really coming from people's unconscious shadows. And often people are very unaware of what they're doing. I don't think it's conscious at all. I think they're very unaware of what they're doing, because they haven't begun to look deeply within themselves and try to awaken and affect profound inner healing and change. Now, that being said, I've pondered that question for quite a long time. And I wonder if, you know, that kind of, this level of greed and corruption is actually necessary as one of the elements to trigger the shift to the new age. And so, in an odd way, it's serving that purpose. It's certainly causing a great deal of harm. But as it grows, it'll force people to wake up, because it'll be so big that it's in their faces. And that's going to cause, I think, this shift from one age to another, where people are growing spiritually in profound ways.
To come back to April for a minute, do you see any significance in the fact that these signs are all taking place right around the time of Passover and the Holy Week and Easter?
Oh, yes. Isn't that interesting? That
Yes, I thought so.
I mean, it's just really interesting. I don't think there are really any coincidences by accident. And so, the higher powers that be, that are, you know, tremendously wise, knew that this alignment would occur. And, you know, again, hopefully that would get people's attention and, again, make them begin to ponder their spiritual lives and what they're really here to do. Mm-hmm. Are they here to simply pursue a career and try to earn a great deal of money? Or are they here also to grow spiritually and to help others and help the earth?
Yeah. There's a new movie out. I don't know if you've seen this Noah movie.
No, I haven't.
With Russell Crowe.
Well, not to spoil the story, but the main story, he's rewritten the Bible story basically to suggest that Noah has this serious inner debate about whether or not it's his responsibility to save the animals and kill off mankind, or to opt for hope and let survivors go on to restore the earth. And it is an interesting question, because it seems like true innocence resides in nature rather than in our hearts. But I'm guessing that you're voting for humanity to come back and do a better job.
Yes, absolutely. I think, again, the Hopis foresaw this fifth world as being a time when we would be ascending from a dark era to one of light and of great wisdom. And certainly I think the Mayans thought that as well. And ancient astrologers also believe that when one cycle closes out, there's usually an era of darkness preceding it. And then the world begins to transcend, to elevate into a world of greater light and understanding. And that's certainly my hope. Again, I think, you know, David Hawkins hit the nail on the head when he focused on the concept that it's up to each and every one of us. According to ancient Hermetic doctrine, as above, so below, so that's the basis for astrology, but also ancient Hermetic doctrine, which goes back thousands of years to ancient Egypt, also posited as within, so without. So your internal level of vibrational radiance is going to profoundly affect what's showing up externally in the world. That's the basis for the so-called law of attraction. The ancients knew about this thousands of years ago. Mm. And it has nothing to do with what you're actively doing in the world. If you are simply, you could literally sit in the corner of your bedroom and never leave it. If you have achieved, you know, an extremely high state of spiritual development, the energetic vibrational essence of who you are is going to profoundly affect, you know, hundreds of thousands or millions of other people and help elevate them.
Well, I think there's a story from the Kabbalah that says there are 36 people praying for the world that are keeping things afloat as it is.
Oh, I think, yeah, according to Gurdjieff tradition as well, there's always an inner circle of highly developed members of humanity, and usually the numbers in the handfuls, who are doing the same thing, same kind of idea.
So maybe there's a spiritual remnant, like the few survivors from Noah's Ark, or the few survivors that traveled in sealed in a log in the Hopi tradition from the fourth world to the fourth world, I guess.
Uh-huh.
This little remnant, maybe there's a spiritual remnant out there that anyone could participate in by simply going into meditative prayer and aligning themselves in the world with the Creator.
You're hitting the nail on the head, Lee. I couldn't have said it any better.
Well, it's going to be an interesting month, and we're living in interesting times, I guess, the old Chinese curse.
I gave a speech a few years ago, and I've got it sitting here in front of me, and the first sentence in the speech is, "We live in interesting times." That was the first sentence.
Well, I'd say you hit the nail on the head as well. One last question. This is more a financial one. I often hear about, you know, people saying, well, the dollar may fail because it's not backed by anything, but what would take its place? Is there anything out there that is backed by anything?
So there are a number of nations that are considering creating what's called a special drawing rights currency, which is a basket of currencies, some of which will be partially backed by gold, but also there Russia and China and the BRIC nations are working on creating international program for settlement of trade in using gold instead of the dollar. And the Chinese are actually thinking about, behind the scenes, creating a gold-backed yuan. That's their currency. So they're getting tremendous gold reserves right now as they're preparing to do that. So there are a number of things that may happen, and it all involves gold, being the
standard of value.
The standard of value that's going to back whatever currency is coming to the fore.
Thanks once again to Dr. John Wessels for his insightful and so far accurate reading of the difficult times we face as we transition to a new and hopefully better world. And thanks to you for listening. If you'd like to hear this show again or any of our more than 500 archived, ad-free NDE interviews, go to TalkZone's NDE radio site and hit the past shows button, or go to our YouTube channel, NDE Radio with Lee Whitting, where you can subscribe to and comment on the complete NDE radio library. And listen next Monday, 11 a.m. Eastern at TalkZone for more NDE radio. I'm your host, Lee Whitting, saying once again, thanks for listening.